special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Sarah, Hugh and Doc too. Obviously none of those people are here. Well, I am. Doc is here, which is very unusual for me to be the only one. But thankfully we have the greatest substitute teacher in the world of radio, Michael Payne.
G'day, fellas. I thought I'd do an Australian accent if I'm going to be a supply teacher.
And playing the part of Sarah Love, we have the producer, Natalie, who's not going to say anything. But she's going to just be looking hot.
I'm going to make it my task to make Natalie say something on the mic.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. We'll turn her into like the female Carl Pilkington. We want to get into that Kate Moss story. I'm sure all of you have seen it in the press. Lots of people have reported it in different ways. Mm. But it's pretty much in all the press. I mean, everybody, like the Guardian down, you know, all the way down to the very bottom, have all been very excited. As most people are, I suppose, about celebrities coming into contact with normals.
Yeah. The peasants, the proletariat.
I've met a few normals, and it is awkward, and I understand where Kate Moss is coming from.
Especially on an EasyJet flight. It's not easy.
Why?
It was EasyJet,
which doesn't have a first class.
Never.
Now, these guys, it was her and three other models, right? They all earn like absolute mint. They were going to this Turkish spa thing, which is proper exclusive. It's like $2,000 a day to go in there. Like, you have a detox
for Sadie Frost's pre-birthday bash.
There you go. Yeah, so
that's
they
when
were
you know
detoxing
because they have pre-birthday bashes.
Yeah, they were detoxing, getting ready to retox for her 50th, right? And they get on an EasyJet flight back. I just couldn't quite compute that.
Apparently Kate Moss blagged her way onto said flight as well.
So it's probably like they got some kind of freebie from
the nothing. She just went to the airport and went,
she
could Kate Moss, can I get on this flight?
She
there's
probably could
space,
have hollered at the Greek guy that runs it, and he probably just would have hooked them up.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it was. It was just the quickest free flight that they could get. Uh-huh. But immediate regrets, because she wanted to drink and you got to pay for the drinks on there. And, you know, it's in, I hate it when you hear this announcement. I heard it on the plane last week where they say it's our choice whether or not we serve you, basically, based on how you're getting on.
So if they just don't like you, it's at their discretion. You can't say anything about
it.
And
these lot blatantly got pissed in the airport before they got on the plane. So she was probably already drunk and they decided to turn her down. So she was like, right, screw you. And she pulled like the little vodka out of the bag.
Right.
Now, obviously she's gone through quick thing security.
Yeah.
And she just broke it out on the plane. And as soon as they saw that, beef. You know what
Fair
I mean?
Fair play.
But the passengers were saying, like other passengers were saying, the staff overreacted.
Right.
And I can believe that. Because, you know, when you get that clash, celebrities v normals, there's a lot of normals who want a story.
Yeah, of course. You'll feed the flames.
Yeah.
And they know that Kate Moss is a hothead as well.
There you go. Yeah, it all kicked off. But I don't think they needed to call the police. The Luton 5-0 as well. They must have been hyped when they got the call. They must have been hyped. So they were there waiting for her and rare. And then apparently she called the pilot, who was a female, a basic bitch. Would have been funnier if it was a man.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of funny. And apparently, like, a lot of the passengers found it funny as well when she dropped it. And it is quite a funny phrase.
It's very sort of ratchet hip-hop. The roots are sort of, I think, like, you know, well, Creation immortalised it in her song as well.
I imagine Nicki Minaj probably drops it in...
She will drop it,
she's probably got Basic Bitch interlude somewhere, I would imagine. Basic Bitch bonus track of some kind.
And just a regular feature in her vocab, probably.
Yeah,
Says it like it's the word and.
I would have thought so. I mean, but how would you describe, for people who've not heard the phrase before, how would you describe a basic bitch?
A basic bitch to me is...
Could be male or female, by the way.
Someone like, what's his name? That blogger, that really annoying blogger that was on Big Brother.
Perez Hilton.
I just got her to talk. I just got... Did anyone hear that? That's Nat's voice. Perez Hilton is a basic bitch for me. And Katie Hopkins. She's less than a basic bitch. I think that's insulting. Basic bitches everywhere calling Katie Hopkins
that
a basic bitch.
That is. She's a basic bitch who thinks she's complex.
Yeah, that's the worst type of basic bitch.
That's the worst kind.
Basic bitches that admit they're basic bitches are just ratchet. You know what I mean? Katie Hopkins is... She's the Katie Hopkins breed of basic bitch, I think.
Where does it stand, basic bitch, in your sort of favourite insults?
It is quite good. It's quite entertaining. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't say ingenious, but it's one of those sort of snappy ones you can just kind of pull out of anywhere.
I'm North London. I've never really grown out of chief. I'm sad that it's sort of in the background these days.
I've been talking a lot to my friend Max about old school slang that infiltrated my vocab when I was growing up. Nang, which means wicked,
sick.
You know, good. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Speng was a good one. That
speng
was a good
was
insult.
Good.
If you called someone a speng was... that was kind of like the early basic bitch. If you were a speng, you were just...
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree
with
that.
The lowest form of idiot.
Yeah, man.
Chief's good, though.
Yeah, Chief is a classic. And it really frustrates me when there's people who move into London that call me Chief as a term of endearment.
Yeah. Like, Americans say Chief as a term of endearment.
Yeah, they do. Americans really go for it. And as a weird American dude yesterday, kept calling me Captain.
Yeah.
I wasn't down with that.
No, not at all. Might have just called me Sailor.
I wasn't down with that at all. Especially because I used to have a bridget who used to call, like, the worst kind of waste men. He used to call him Waste Captain, which I used to love.
Or Waste Cadet.
Waste Captain. Yeah, Waste Cadet. Waste Cadet's good. That's really good. I've never heard that one before. So I've said a lot of outrageous shit on this show in the past. I don't think I've dropped a C-bomb, though. I don't intend to do that.
I don't think I have either.
I think that's unnecessary. But I will litter this show with shit if I have to. But I'm not going to drop the C-bomb.
I'm not going to lie. I do use it.
I also use
insults that stem from male genitalia as well.
Good.
This is where I provide some
balance.
I'll
never grow out of the word prick. For me, prick is so strong and that's so specific.
Snappy,
I love it.
Again. It's snappy.
Yeah, it's snappy.
You know?
And only certain people are pricks. You can't just litter it around.
Not at all.
For certain people who, when I think of them, that's the only word.
Billy
I
Mitchell.
Think of. There you go.
That's a classic prick. Billy Mitchell's a prick. His character, not the guy that plays him. I've never met him. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. But Billy Mitchell is a prick. But then on the other end, like, David Cameron is a prick.
He is.
He's the biggest prick, probably.
The thing about David Cameron is he's like a literal prick. Because whenever I see him, he reminds me, and I'm not saying I've seen many, at least not with my own eyes, but, you know, in the past I watched a lot of pornography. He looks like a spent penis.
Yes.
He looks like as if it's just been wanked.
Yep. Definitely.
That's what his...
Definitely.
That his head.
Borderline mushroom.
It's got too much face.
Yeah.
It's just way too much of it. What are some of your other favourites?
Wankstain.
Wankstain is
it's
strong.
Always been a good strong. One. All right, so... this is actually quite funny. So, I put out my first and only album, actually, on a record label. I won't say what it was because I don't want to name too many names. The only person I won't name is who the insult was directed at. Brandon Flowers from The Killers actually emailed this guy and called him a forgettable wank.
Oh, that's so dismissive.
Because every
wank is filled with shame. You know, it's a little bit like Ian McDonald's. The second after it's done, you're like, actually, I don't know how much I've gained here. But to have a forgettable one.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely
because
brilliant.
Because I can't say, at my age, in my mid-30s, I can't say that there's one classic that I'm looking back on. Now, 2015, thinking, but that evening when I got blown out by that chick. It was a summer's night, 2003.
Went home, realised my parents were out.
I had one of those victory wanks loud. the doors open. No, I've not had that. So all wanks are imminently forgettable.
Yeah. But to actually call someone, specifically, you are 100% expendable.
Wait, I've never been a huge Killers fan, but I'm going to start listening to the whole back catalogue. I'm going to give a massive shout out to Brandon Flowers. Yeah. I remember the first time it was explained to me what blood clot meant. Or like pussy clut. I'd never really realised that the clut was...
Exactly.
The clut is just the way like a Jamaican person would say clut.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So you're saying like a used sanitary towel.
That is
which
grim.
That's a slap in anybody's face.
Yeah.
I got my start in comedy because this dude from Radio 1 started writing a comedy show for the BBC that was going to have an all-black cast. He was like a white middle-class dude. And being the only black person he knew, he called me and asked me if I'd have a little look through.
Amazing. You should have just filled it with these.
And he said, like, I'll get the BBC to pay you as, like, a script consultant.
Right.
I was like, blessed. All right, cool. And I read through it, and I was like, what time is this show going to be on? He was like, 6:30 on Radio 4. I was like, you got, like, blood clot in here. Like, and he was like, yeah, that's like a Jamaican exclamation, isn't it? Like,
damn.
Oh, man.
I feel sick. I was like, oh, blood clot.
Nah, man. When I broke down like the etymology of that, he was white as a sheet.
Yeah.
He was whiter than... He was already quite white. You know what I mean? He turned whiter than that. Here's the thing, right? I was talking to a friend of both of ours the other day, just before he went on his little American expedition.
Oh, the sea dog.
Corian, the last skeptic, as he's better known in the world of music and fun things. We were discussing Drake's new album, which we're both big fans of. And he was like, oh, well, I love that tune, Running Through the Six with my wolves.
Whoa, you know how that shit go.
You know how that shit go. And he was like, what I love about it, I just love that image of him like running through his old area with all the sadness from his life, all his emotions.
Shakespearean sadness almost.
Yeah, with my woes.
woe is me.
And to be fair, that's a very innocent, easy mistake to
100%.
Make. 100%. Because, you know, Drake's always going on about his woes.
Yeah. And then his whole is messages about woes.
And all the women he could have saved but didn't, and the ones that he did. And, you know, the woman who dived off the cliff that he caught on the beach and all that stuff. And I respect that. You can hear it, actually. Cause I think it's maybe confused some people when it first came out. Let's hear it now.
Running through the six with my wolves.
He was counting money at the same time. I was like, Corin, was he running around counting money and crying? Like,
he's wiping his tears his money with these dollar bills.
I'm not happy about it. I was confused by it when I first heard it, so I looked it up, and it turns out that the WOES is like an acronym.
It is, right? Yeah, Working on Excellence.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a thing that he picked up from Lil Wayne, his kind of mentor. He's in New Orleans. They use that for their homies. They go their WODies, you know, and then or the WOES for short, and it's become this acronym. So he's just running through the hood with his people, and I just loved that image of him actually maybe running through the hood crying and counting money. And it made me think about all the lyrics that I've got wrong. Like, when I was a kid, I used to always think Jimi Hendrix said, excuse me while I kiss this guy. You know? I was like, that's very, he's very camp, very flamboyant.
Yeah.
He's got his shirt open all the way down to the belly button.
He died drinking red wine.
I see, yeah. Most he died drinking red wine. You know, he died like,
most women, he died like
a Guardian reader, you know. And I looked at his band and I thought, yeah, maybe he wanted to kiss one of the guys.
Yeah,
fair enough
to him.
Fair enough. And then when I found out what it was, I was crestfallen. And last week I was actually talking about a friend of mine who texted me really angry about a song that he'd heard me on, and he said, why is there anti-Semitism on this song and you're on it? I'm not happy about it. And I was like, fuck, Jesus, did that happen? Maybe you know, sometimes people lay their verses after
I've
you
got the same
shit,
damn
I don't
problem.
Know so I was like, please send me the details. And then he texts back and he's quoted it, and he said, this guy, verse 2, he says, I don't see why I need Jews on my list to prove who's the livest. And he said it's a song called This Is Who We Be featuring Young Gun and Devise. And Devise is the rapper that says it. And I was like, okay. First off, he says, I don't need jewels on my wrist to prove who's the livest. He's saying he doesn't need to floss.
Yeah.
And he's Jewish. And the guy was like, okay, I'm just going to go home now.
Amazing.
I know people have got some
shit. It's actually crazy. In the same vein as your friend thinking that you would actually have anti-Semitic lyrics on a song, I've got a song called Dirty Rider.
And, it's a great tune. Yeah.
So the, thank you. One of the lines goes, it's actually the hook's inspired by Ambitions as a Rider by Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
And the hook goes, you know, lyrically goes, I won't deny I'm a nutty rider. Because when I ride my bike, I like to be a bit crazy, you know.
You're weaving in and out.
Yeah, it's on YouTube and people actually think, as a black guy, that I'm saying, I won't deny it, I'm a Nazi rider. They genuinely think that. And there's comments going, I've disliked this because this guy, and I'm like, really?
He's a Illuminati. But the thing is that people who listen to rap, like, we've got a whole range of people that listen to rap, but there is a strong contingent who constantly think that everything's a conspiracy.
I
remember, like, my F64 that I did, Jamal showed me this comment that someone had put, this moment, 2 minutes in, proves that Jamal's in the Illuminati.
Random
He does
triangle.
This little wink, and he does a little signal to Doc, and that this is how they roll in high society, blah, blah,
Jesus
blah. And Doc's
Christ.
Got a lyric about high society on it. I was like,
that strain of weed, that particular weed, strain of weed that you're
weed,
smoking, stop. Stop smoking
down.
That.
Please, there's so many different kinds of weed, and I'm not going to promote drugs, but I do know for a fact there's so many different kinds
there's
that
good
can suit
types,
different
man.
People.
Yeah.
You know,
stop sitting in your house watching YouTube, listening to Necro and reading fucking Zeitgeist and watching Zeitgeist and
don't do that.
George, just forget it, mate. Like, even if there was this massive cut, you would not, as this weird guy that sits in front of his computer.
Yeah.
You know what
I love about those guys, though? They're searching for the truth. They found it through these means. They don't read books, but they found some links. Mm. Yeah.
And they run with it.
What are they going to do with it? Where are they going with it?
That's the thing.
Guys!
To them, they're just spreading
just run
the
out
word.
To the street.
They're just spreading
Guys!
The word.
Guys, it's bullshit. It's all bullshit. JFK was killed by aliens. You know, where are you going with this information? You know, they're sad because they could spend so much time learning about some real shit that, that actually could affect them.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that
actually affects us. But there we go. You know, they're the type of people who get song lyrics wrong all the flipping time. So I threw it out there. I asked a few people. And one of my all-time favorites, I mean, I had a long list, but my favorite was from a girl who said she used to always think that the Bob Marley classic Is This Love. You over there, can you play it? I'll play it first and then tell you what she thought.
I would have offered to sing it. I do love it. I'm partial to singing a bit of Bob.
We'll be together with a roof rack on our head.
She genuinely thought it was, we'll be together with a roof rack over our heads.
It sounds great, though. It sounds like an advert for Halfords. Halfords should capitalise on that.
Incredible. They should. Like they should speak to the estate.
Yeah, Lidl did win One Direction's all these little things.
I reckon it's worth speaking to the Marley estate, Halfords. Because if there's a Bob Marley energy drink, do you know what I'm saying? I reckon they're willing to hear some other promotional tie-ins.
License his song to Halfords. We'll be together with a roof rack over our heads. It's got a ring to it. Halfords, if anyone's listening, get in touch with
the Marley estate. That's your chance. It's your chance. You know what I love most about that? The fact that she thought that for so many years is that she genuinely didn't question. She just assumed that the most important element of a relationship to someone as deep and profound as Bob Marley was ample storage. Ample storage on a family journey. Honestly. That's what he's really looking for. I think maybe she was thinking, you know, like that process, you know, you meet as young people, you fall in love, you have kids, and then somewhere down the line, you go on a holiday to Cornwall.
You look at Rastas and, you know, reggae artists as these bohemian people that, you know, wherever I lay my hat, that's my home. You know what I mean? You're going to need a roof rack. If that's your lifestyle, right? You're going to need to pack your bongo drums and that on the top and all, you know what I mean? All your other really
There's
sort
so
of
much shit you're going to need.
All the time. So you're going to need a roof rack. You are actually going to need, I think that's probably going to need
a lot of hair oil, you know, there's various sort of ripped vests that you're gonna need. You need a whole stack of those shits. Enough of them, bro.
Yes. Sugar cane. All that.
You know what I mean? And you can't get all of that in the boot of the average Rasta car.
Yeah, you're probably gonna be driving like a Citroen 2 CV.
There you go.
Or something. You know what I mean? Something quite old school. So you're gonna need a roof rack over your head.
For real. And to be fair, like, I know that sounds like a generalization, but I am half Jamaican. I spent a lot of time on the island and I don't see any big cars over there.
Nah. So what do they need them for?
Roof storage would become an issue were you to start a family and go on long car journeys.
From what I've seen, like sort of very basic island transportation, it's just people that go on the roof rack anyway.
That's very true. That is very, very true.
So maybe that's where they
maybe
put the
that's
kids.
What they're talking about.
Yeah, the product
it's
of the
a two-seater.
Yeah.
Because he says single bed, so we know what he's dealing with financially.
It's very economical. Very economical relationship.
Strap him to the top.
Yep. No baby seats.
You're not going to be able to get roller skates and a rope. That's the stuff of a man's dreams.
That's board lunch, I'll crew it
there
as well.
There you go. Strap him to the roof.
Strap him to
it's
the
good
roof.
Good weather in Jamaica. Mm. They'll be blessed. They'll be getting all the breeze.
What's the next one? We've got a
Timberlake.
Good one.
Tell us about his Timberlake.
What song's this again, Nat? We're going to play the clip first.
Yeah, this is Justin Timberlake.
Did anyone hear it? Can we play it again, Nat, please? Listen, listen to the end, right?
Fight the power, maybe. It was easy.
It's Mirrors by Justin Timberlake.
I tell you, baby, it was easy coming back to you once I'd fingered an owl. What? I mean, that's what I heard. What? It was easy coming back to you once I fingered an owl.
That's brilliant.
What relationship isn't improved by just taking a little break? Do you know what I mean?
Indulging
you
in some bestiality.
I'll go mine.
Yeah.
interfere with a nocturnal bird.
Molest.
Come back. Do you know what I mean? You start afresh. That is incredible.
Brilliant.
That really is fantastic. Timberlake, fingered an owl. Justin Timberlake said, I can legally say Justin Timberlake fingered an owl. Based on the information that I've been given from the man himself. These kill me. They really slay me.
We've actually got a couple more. We've got one from Beyonce, which Nat's going to play, you know.
Oh, great. I've been drinking.
I'm a dragon.
I'm a dragon.
You know, that's probably true.
Seriously, yeah. Man was watching like the Drunken Love video. I'm telling you, like, she's one of these lizards, yeah.
Yeah, she's reptilian.
Yeah, she's one of these reptilians, bruv. She's like, if you trace her lineage, it's like it's all linked back to like the Bush family and like fucking, hey, bruv.
What you gonna hit that for?
Hey, hit this, bruv. Hey, this is, oh, yeah, this is that piff, bruv. Hey, she's a dragon. She said it herself, fam.
That was very to the point, Beyonce, so thanks for that.
What else we got?
We've got one by David. How do you pronounce that? Do you say Guetta or Guetta?
I think Guetta.
I say Guetta as well.
I say Guetta.
Usually I just say prick. But yeah, David Guetta. We've got one from David Guetta here. You shut it home. Well, that was actually Sia, who I'm a huge fan of, telling you how she got rid of her. Well, she shut it out, apparently. Or, no, she's accusing you, actually. Yeah, could you play again, please, Nat? You
shut it out. Oh, no. But I see what's happening here. She's basically, it's one of them subliminal disses. You know, like, every now and again, you get, like, beef tracks where the beef happens within the studio,
yeah,
and then the dude puts down the lyric and disses someone else that's actually on the same track.
Mm.
She's got in there as a talented artist, realized she's contractually, she's got to do this shit.
Yeah, and she's like,
but she hates
where did
Guetta.
This beat come from?
She hates Guetta. She hates
you
the way.
There
you go. She hates the way he's just
makes
shitting out all
sense.
This bullshit
it
all
makes
the
perfect
time.
Sense, yeah.
So she just thought, you know what, let me sneak in a little side
Big
shot.
Big up for her subliminals.
I love them subliminal disses.
And this last one is from Daft Punk. Rap a Mexican. We rap a Mexican.
You know, this is the thing. This is why I never trusted Daft Punk, yeah? Like, you know there's some racist muggers. You know that. Because who else would never show their faces
for
high
real,
behind
rolling
a mask
around in
the
what
whole
looks
time.
Like pretty much like motorcycle helmets.
Do you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? I grew up
bro.
Near Islington. I know what it means when
bro.
People come rolling into a
drive
building in motorcycle
by.
Helmets.
Drive by. And then to add just a specific race to their crime.
Yes.
Yeah? I'm done with these guys. I'm done with them. Yeah?
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I don't even want to think about the connotation of bigger, better, faster, stronger now, you know? Fuck those
Do you know
guys.
What? On the flip side, I remember the first time I heard, play that funky music, white boy.
Yeah. Oh. Who was it?
Wild Cherry.
Wild Cherry.
I could not believe that they were actually saying that.
Hmm.
I couldn't believe it.
Did you think it was something else, or you heard it clearly first time?
Yeah, I heard it clearly, and I thought,
but
they can't
like,
be
that
saying
can't
play
be
that funky
lyric.
Music, white boy. I don't know why, I just never thought it could actually be that until I got older and I realised that's actually what they were saying.
Yeah.
I just thought the reverse. Imagine if it was just, play that funky music, black boy.
That would be creepy.
Yeah.
Hey, boy. Play that funky music, boy. Thought of one from my childhood, actually. My parents listened to a lot of Motown. And me and my sister used to crack up when my mum played this Diana Ross song. Do you know that one? Little girl, please don't wait for me. Wait patiently for love. There's a lyric where she goes, he could see I had no ass, so he left me. We got to find that. Because tell me, she's supposed to be saying eyes, but it doesn't sound like eyes. It sounds like she had nothing in the trunk and he was a very shallow man.
I had no ass,
so
brilliant.
He left
That's
me
brilliant.
Once again alone.
Oh, we got Diana. Yeah, yes, of course.
Oh,
we got
yeah.
Them.
Play that lyric, because it always made me and my sister love. So he left me.
I've seen a couple get like that.
It's just the way it lets it linger.
See, I had no ass.
That's brilliant.
Pause. So he left me.
I love that shit.
It's the accent barrier, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we go arse and they go, yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
We got a few tweets coming in. Tessa from Lewisham, she tweeted us as well. Say, hey,
Lewisham.
I was kind of...
Lewisham, that's
I love
a new...
That.
I've never...
Sorry.
Read the
email and we'll take the piss out of you afterwards.
No, tell me now.
I could
now.
Never imagine...
Lewisham
being pronounced like that.
It's Lewisham.
Lewisham.
Yeah.
Ah,
but the way you said it,
wicked.
Lewisham, it sounded magical.
But you know what? The same thing can happen with English people trying to pronounce the names of, like, Native America... Native Australian places.
Yeah.
So, where we'll just make a...
No, that's...
mockery of Lily's name.
Well, I'm glad to try to make it sound magical for you guys.
You just call it a Kazwaza, something like that. It's probably real.
Tessa said, she said, I was kind of vexed when I saw those racial, people breaking in at Wireless, but only because I wish I'd done it to see my man Drake.
I was going to say, I didn't even feel vexed about them doing it.
And she says, I just sat at home and thought about his beautiful face instead. Childish Gambino. Okay. He'd bloody get it as well. Get it as well.
Wow, this
I know
is sexually
really
aggressive email.
Was very well.
I think someone from the Food Bar office might have sent that last email.
Sarah's been inspiring the girl, our female listeners.
Yeah.
So rise up!
You get sexually aggressive while you're listening to Hugh Joseph in the afternoon.
Also, David in Stockwell, he tweeted us saying, yo, these people who broke into Finns Park are absolute chiefs. If you can't pay for a ticket, you ain't got no business witness the majesty of Mary J. You can have Minaj though.
So what's the difference?
Minaj you can have for
but
free.
But so what's the difference between like bum rush? I mean, I wouldn't break in like that. But what's the difference between that and then people who are just like blagging a free ticket because they happen to know someone and getting in like that? What's the difference?
It's totally different.
Why?
It's totally different. Because like I think if you're blagging one, then you know somebody who earned that ticket in some way from working in the industry, and then they've decided to give you one, yeah. And you're gonna treat the festival hopefully with respect when you're in there. If you're coming
There's
with
no
ticket whatsoever, no assurance. But if you're coming with no ticket whatsoever, you're just gonna barge it down. That's the whole thing because you're putting people, you're pushing people into a feeling of fear.
But this is what I'm saying. I don't even put it down to the people's fault. It's the organizers.
At the same time, I think I already made my position clear at the start. I feel like these things cost too much. If you make money out of the streets, you should respect the street as well.
They
and
don't
have
give
discounted
a damn
tickets.
About the
what I would do if I was an organizer, I would say if you can prove that you live in M5 or you can prove that you live like within the local area, there's a discount for you. So if you bring like a proof of ID or whatnot, you can get a discounted ticket as a Londoner who lives in that area.
There's so much stuff like that that can be done, and there's no interest from the people who sponsor Wireless to do any of that. They don't give a damn about these people that are interested in milking you for as much money as they can get. Don't expect no principle from corporations.
I'm the same with my comedy shows now. Like I want it to be £10 max because like, you know, they try and put you on in Edinburgh and stuff for like £16-17. Like who's going to come and see me for that much? I wouldn't see me for that much. That's insane. You know, like every artist wants a packed room more than they want the absolute spoils. And I'm talking about real artists.
And that's worth more sometimes than a fee that you can be paid.
Like sometimes I come off tour and I think, you know what, I was performing at a reduced rate or whatever, and then I get a paycheck like 6 months later. I forgot I was getting paid because I did the whole tour and it was so much fun and
the
people was laughing every night. And then I get paid as well. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to like give me that paycheck at the end of a tour 6 months later, or I've got a choice between that and a paycheck that's like maybe £3,000 more, like really and truly it's short-sighted to just say fuck my fans, I want £3,000 more. Do you know what I'm saying? But that, you know, that's the nature of the beast, unfortunately. I just think with the Wireless thing,
I don't
the organizers need to respect the fact that they're promoting a music that is from the streets, it is born of the working classes, therefore the real fans of it may not be able to afford to come based on those ticket prices. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the real shame is that the same people who said, oh, I saw Kanye at the Brits and there was lots of black people in black clothes and they looked very aggressive. Those people are going to get freaked out by Wireless because I think, oh, this is those rap guys doing that rap thing again. But it's not, because the difference is if you've got, you know, Bon Jovi playing and a bunch of artists supporting Bon Jovi who are of that same ilk, it's very unlikely that they're going to be speaking. It's very unlikely. I don't want to be a prick, but it's very unlikely that they're going to be speaking to like the kids that are grown up on the council estates, no money, from backgrounds where their parents aren't working and they've got no income. It's very unlikely that they're going to make up the majority of, you know, like you say, Bryan Adams or Bon Jovi. Therefore, all of a sudden, that festival is going to get a lot more like positive press than the Wireless festival, and that's the thing that irritates me the most. I'm not going to justify pushing the fences down.
No, I don't
because
think
that's scary.
I was worried for their safety. Yeah. Like the people, they could have easily been trampled if one of them people tripped up, and then the next 100 people just storming over them. Yeah. But I do not blame the kids, and I'm not going to shame them kids for doing that because, of course, they're thinking I'm going to get to see Drake for free. They're not thinking deeper than that.
Of course, that's
it's
all
the
that's
organizers being slack with their perimeter and their security situation that they are the ones who put people at risk that day.
And if you were a security guard there, you know, you're not getting paid that much anyway. You see 100 young people running towards you, mate, fuck
Low
go
it. For it, mate.
You know what I'm saying?
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Doc Brown, rap about anything. This is a segment where you can tweet in topics and Doc will write a rap about it by the end of the show, which is now. You are on FUBAR and Doc Brown, you've picked toenails, is that right?
Yeah, man. Well, thank you to everybody who's tweeted in. My number one choice for this week was from Adam O'Baker, AdamBaker79 on Twitter. Thank you very much for the slightly disturbing toenail clippings found in the cutlery drawer at work. That's what he's put. No, there's no more
detail.
There's no more detail than that. It's the most detailed suggestion we've got so far. Normally it's one word.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
Adam,
I'm going to try and hit you. You were something good, man. I hope this does you justice. All right, here we go. This week's rap's really more of an allegation sent through to FUBAR straight from Adam Baker. Adam has frankly been driven berserk by disturbing behavior he uncovered at work. In the kitchen looking for some stuff like a fork, he found toenail clippings in the cutlery drawer. What the fuck? Seriously, bro. What the fuck? Nails, toes? Yo, what the fuck? What class of folk do you have as your colleagues? And what kind of shit do they count as their hobbies? First of all, sticking them in a drawer instead of putting them in the bin is a concentrated effort. If anything, chop them off and leave them on the floor. But to sweep them up and dump them in a drawer where you keep utensils used in your mouth, it's a new level of evil we're talking about. Match up the nails to the right pair of fists and rain down hell. This is toenail beef, bitch. This is toenail beef. I said it. This is toenail beef. Something so gross is beyond the belief. This is toenail beef.
Hey!
There we
My
go.
God, I even put a hook in that one.
Yeah, I got a hook in.
Wow. Very, very impressive.
Because I made the decision early on in the show, you know, so I thought, fuck it, I'll take my time, write a little hook.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Now, I do enjoy this part of the show because this is when Doc gives me a personal...
Lap dance.
Oh my god.
Go! Go! Go!
All our friends
are baby making.
Oh, I'm liking it. Oh, new moves this week, Doc.
All up under the dashiki. Yeah.
Somebody gonna get pregnant.
Somebody oh my god, I wish this song lasted longer.
Nobody sit on any of these stools for at least 35 minutes.
I wish that song. You know what? The only thing that let me down on this week's lap dance was there wasn't enough air guitar and air guitar sound effects that you were doing.
Yeah, for real.
So, but yes, no, they didn't, Doc.
Yeah, no, they didn't this week. Is, you know, it's depressingly predictable because I know for a fact that whenever there's a hip hop artist on the main stage on the pyramid at Glastonbury, it's an issue, right?
Yep.
It's an issue, and you got all the rock guys and the indie guys saying no, they didn't. No, Michael Evers didn't book Jay-Z. No, he didn't book Snoop Dogg.
Because even Jay-Z, now, there was like 100,000 people signed a petition.
Yeah,
to,
listen.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's crazy how much they went against them. But it was even crazier for me how much they went against Kanye, because I thought from the start that Kanye was more of a crossover artist than Jay-Z and Snoop. I see them both as proper rap guys, you know? Whereas Kanye is a dude, you know, he's making tunes with Maroon 5, like, years ago, you know? He was always making, like, music that I think indie kids, rock kids could appreciate. But for some reason, they took against him, and I think maybe it's because of his character. Yeah. Anyway, the no, they didn't, it, like I say, is depressing, because I was out there at Glastonbury supporting Kanye to the fullest and I cannot believe
I cannot believe
the quality of show that he delivered.
It was terrible.
Okay, because I didn't actually see the show yet, and so
it's
obviously
bad.
I've heard mixed things.
Bohemian
and then it's
Rhapsody?
Hard to know how many people are just hating and how bad it actually was. What, but some,
listen,
I saw some people
so
say that
annoying,
was the highlight.
Because I don't want to be a hater, because he had so many haters before he came on stage. There was people so ready to boo him, and I was like, you know what, fuck you lot, because this guy's got hits and he's changed the game. He's a game changer.
And I love you.
And he's amazing. Of course he's a dickhead. Everybody knows that. Yeah. All sorts of artists are dickheads. Yeah. It doesn't mean their music is shit.
Yeah.
And Kanye's a perfect example of a classic rock star. He's a prick. His music's amazing.
Yeah.
Separate the two. It's very simple. Do you know? And yet, when Kanye came on, a lot of people weren't giving him a chance. What I loved was that he just came on to Stronger, and then he just plowed through about five, six bangers, hard hitting.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. No talking, no nonsense, just bang. Mm. But the big problem was he was the only person on the stage.
Mm.
He had these lights like a meter from his head. And the whole thing just said, look, it's all about me. I write everything. I produce everything. I rap everything. No one else is involved. And when it came to the end of those five or six bangers, he was like, you know, he didn't say hello. He didn't say, how you doing, Glastonbury?
Yeah.
And that sounds like, you know, that sounds like a big complaint, like a petty complaint, but it's not, because I've watched some terrible artists at Glastonbury. Mm. And if you just say, how's it going, Glastonbury? You enjoy the sunshine? People lose their shit.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you talk to them.
People are just buzzing.
He was so cold.
It's really cute, though. You ask Doc, how was Kanye's set? Oh, it was really good. He didn't ask how it was, though.
He did.
Apart from that, it was really good.
That's all you got to do. Just say, how you doing? He wouldn't do it. And he, after that, he decided to do a series of ballads, like singing ballads, sort of on his
own
knees kind of
covers.
Thing. Yeah, his own.
Oh, right, okay.
And then he'd have these breaks where he'd disappear. And instead of, like, what you'd expect from Kanye, you know, his songs are huge, orchestral. You could have an orchestra there. You could have some singers filling these gaps. He'd just disappear and the stage would go black. So you think it was over.
Mm.
And he constantly kept losing the energy. Then Lee Nelson came running on.
How did that actually go down? Yeah, no, I saw the clip of him ambushing the stage.
It's nuts because I was with Simon Brodkin, the guy who plays Lee Nelson,
okay,
hours before at the Libertines show.
Mm-hmm.
And
was he being
he didn't
Lee
mention
Nelson
it, man.
Then?
He didn't even mention it.
Because, yeah, he even had the T-shirt printed up and everything. So I was like,
nuts.
Okay, obviously
yeah,
he Lisa's. Put some thought
what
into this.
What did he do?
He somehow got on the fucking stage.
He just bum-rushed the stage
and just like,
pretended to
like,
rap along kind of thing.
Rap along with Kanye.
But then afterwards he said that it was...
Afterwards
he said it was like in support of Taylor Swift when he ambushed the stage on
Taylor Swift. Which was a joke as well. I think the reason he did it was because...
It's great promo, man.
Well, it's great promo for him. But also, sometimes you got to cut certain people down to size. So remember when Jarvis Cocker got on stage and Michael Jackson?
That was just bullshit, though. I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, that actually served no purpose. There was no kind of statement behind that.
I believe it did, personally. I think it was on a very similar level to the Lee Nelson. I think what he was trying to say was, chill, you're not Jesus. And in that moment, Michael Jackson was in sort of loose-fitting white angelic clothes with the long hair in a full-on crucifixion pose with children at his feet looking up to him, and the children were dressed in rags as if they were like hungry or they needed him to make them feel better. Mm. It was a very, very purposely Christ-like performance, and Jarvis Cocker was sat there probably drunk and he just thought what we were all thinking, mate, fuck this, man. Mm. Where's Billie Jean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Chill. You're
but
not
I
Jesus.
Mean,
you're a pop star.
What performance do you not think that? Like, you know, look at Lady Gaga. It's like, get the fuck out of here with whatever bullshit you're doing when there's some tramp on stage.
I
lap
don't know.
Dance. Like,
I don't think it's a fair comparison.
Cool.
I think Lady
But no, I mean, it's like, ultimately, any performance up there, you can, in some sense, break it down to,
yeah,
this is just some air where it's like all...
Yeah,
this,
but there's a line that you cross. And I think Kanye, one of his biggest mistakes is to think that he's maybe along the lines of some kind of deity, which is definitely what MJ thought. And listen, these are two of my favorite artists of all time, so I'm you know, I'm being possibly overly critical, but I can see where Simon was coming from. I can see where Jarvis was coming from. I don't condone it because I don't think you should mess with another artist. I think it lacks class.
Mm.
But anyway, it happened. But for me, long story short, the No They Didn't this week is really based on the fact that Kanye disappointed the shit out of me and out of tens of thousands of fans. So I was wondering from our listeners, when was the last time you let yourself down or you let other people down? Preferably in public.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Preferably in public.
Yeah.
I got a list
because
as long as my arm, Doc.
I love an embarrassing story. That's why, you know. And I think Kanye embarrassed himself. First off, with the suit that he was wearing. He wore a denim suit, right?
Yeah,
which,
right,
as I recall, was, what, 98? 97?
Yeah.
When we was rocking
double
denim suits.
Double denim's still a fashion no-no, apparently.
You're
yeah.
so out
so
of touch.
He's wearing a denim suit But also, it was obviously, you know, a ridiculously expensive designer.
Also, and his trainers white paint splatters. The shittest trainers that I've terrible. Ever seen. They look like something out of last year's reject Zara sale or something. Because,
so
like,
had the white paint splattered
crap.
Over the denim. And I know what it was supposed to be, but it just looked like a seagull had, like, done his review, done his own review of the show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, nature's, like, on
nature's
behalf.
Review.
Yeah.
Of the Kanye show. So, yeah, I just wanted to know, has anybody else, not obviously not on that level, but, you know, within your lives, because we've all done it. We've all let ourselves down in public, or let other people down somehow.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear those stories.
So get in touch with us.
Because the worst stories are always the best.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
We're going to be hearing Doc rap about something.
It's Kerry Trim at Stories From on Twitter. Suggested today having an extra second should be a subject for rap about anything. Justin R. Crow at Oats23 on Twitter suggested headaches while troubleshooting survey software.
Oh, that the wheel of death
is clearly
the
some
wheel
shit
of death. That should be a subject
right
definitely
now.
For the future. So
thanks
please
for that, Justin. But the winner
for Doc's rap about anything.
The rap about anything comes from Josh Harrington at Josh Harrington, because he's got such a solid name. He doesn't need to add any shit to his Twitter name.
Yep.
Who suggests Glastonbury Blues, which is something that I'm really.
I think it's strong. I think it's strong, and I got to say,
Josh,
I was pushing.
You,
hard
bro.
For this instrumental for Dr. Rap on, and I think this is no,
really
we don't want that.
Show.
We want the really wild show. That's exactly
that's crazy. What. Here we go. The Glastonbury Blues going out to Josh Harrington.
You goddamn,
it ain't about no uptown.
Terry Nutkins, bring a stretch.
Woo!
I got the Glastonbury Blues. I got the Glastonbury Blues. Would have said it thrice, would have said again. This one's going out to Josh Harrington because he knows how I feel on a gigantic come down for real. London can't compare. Everybody here. Has got normal hair, yeah, and they don't say hi or give a high five or a hug when they walk by. Aww. If I behaved how I did down in Glasgow, out here in London, I get an Asbo.
That's right.
Last weekend, I was dancing round the garden like a pixie prancing,
what?
Yeah, with a crown full of daisies and a little dwarf on my shoulders. Crazy.
That's right.
Talking shit to everyone I met, and I still haven't even had a single slap yet. Good vibes, so nothing can't break. The positives, even the show from Kanye. Wish it was still present tense.
Okay, we've got a loop.
Wish it was still, yeah. Wish it was still present tense. 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 So intense, sleeping intense. Now being home just doesn't make sense. One love to the Glastonbury Fest, it's immense. I got the Glastonbury Blues. I got the Glastonbury Blues. I got the Glastonbury Blues. I got the Glastonbury Blues.
Glastonbury Blues. Yeah. Kick that.
Shout out Terry Nutkins.
Hey.
Shout out all the youth.
Yo, Michaela Strachan, get the stretch.
Nice.
And Chris Packham, please let me know when he's coming back to FUBAR so I can meet him, even though he is married, unfortunately.
Oh, shit.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, and just fade out.
Yeah, forget that loop.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
We're joined with the one and only Howard, a.k.a.
Yes.
Kammer, B-Boy Kammer, Foundation's crew.
Hey.
You know what I was wondering, Kammer? Like, where do you stand? Like, how do you feel? Do you feel, like, proud, or do you feel, like, irked? Or do you have any emotion at all when you see the sort of new wave of street dance in inverted commas crews coming through and becoming megastars? Do you think that's a beautiful thing? Do you feel yourself as a pioneer of what they're doing now, or do you feel like there's not enough?
I think it's good for them, really, because it's good exposure for them, really, because it gets the dance out there. People are more into it, as in the mainstream, which might be a good thing or a bad thing. You've got, you know, some ways of positive and the negative to both sides. But it's good to get them out there and to get the kids to do something that's different as well, instead of just going to school and studying and
or just sitting
sports.
Looking at a computer screen.
Yeah. That, exactly.
You know what? My niece, she's got her Spanish exchange over at the moment, and yesterday I passed by their house on the way home. One of my nieces was looking at the iPads, like doing the Google Translate into Spanish. The Spanish exchange had her headphones on and was looking at her phone, and my niece was looking at the computer, and they're all sat next to each other.
There's no communication.
I was like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But this is kids aren't going to develop social or communicative skills, and that's an important part of succeeding in life. And also, it's like, that can't be healthy looking at a screen that long. Like, you need to be active if you don't want to have health problems.
What struck me as beautiful about breakdance, and by the way, I discovered hip hop via Covent Garden in the 80s. That's the first time I ever came across it, seeing breakdance. breakdance.
See, Howard, what you did?
First thing I ever saw.
That's the beauty of it.
That was wicked. Yeah.
But what really strikes me as a beautiful thing with breakdance, when I see the kids doing it now and you see, like, Flawless and Diversity and these guys, like, absolutely killing it, I love the way that even when it hits that level of mainstream, it's still, like, this kind of profoundly underground, like, unique skill that only a few people can do. You know, you see the way that rap music gets bastardized when it makes that crossover and people feel like they have to speak on just a certain few topics, or they have to use just a certain few sounds for the drums and the synths and whatever. It is nice when you see, like, I mean, I'm friendly innovation with Bashy Banjo, and, you know, I've seen him at work, seen him rehearsing with the guys and stuff, and you look at it and you think, this is ready to perform on ITV1 at like 7:30 p.m. you know, with all sorts of grannies watching it wherever. But it's raw as hell, man. Like, this is what it is. It's like this incredible urban creation that it hasn't been watered down at all, really.
But you see, because what you capture there is people are tapping into something in their heart that we can't even vocalize into words.
Where do B-boys go when they die? Like, what happens? Like, what happens? You know, like,
Gavin wasn't ready for that one.
You know, listen, we're all getting older and whatnot. I don't want to rap forever. Do you know what I'm saying? But I do think about breakers and I think about their knees. Do you know what I mean? Because I still play football and my knees are absolutely fucked. Do you know what I mean?
My whole body is.
Like, where'd you go from here? I mean, do you teach young
kids? I mean,
I used
to teach before. From the late 90s, I was teaching in Pineapple with Scam.
Okay.
But then I've got all these injuries. I've had so many injuries. It's ridiculous that I understand where you're coming from about your knees and X, Y, Z of all these injuries. But if you look after your body, I mean, there's people out there that are still dancing in their mid-40s.
That's crazy.
That's my age. And they're still at a level that's... that can hold their own still.
You still dance?
Yeah, I'm getting back on it now.
Really?
So I'm just clearing all my injuries up, starting to condition a bit more. And
drama's back then, boy.
That's the voice of the one and only maestro, the guy with the tight flow.
AKA the voice of chocolate velvet cake for all you mother lovers out there.
Better recognise. Maestro, again, another person that I met in 1999 when I first started working at the original Deal Real store.
Deal Real, yeah, the real Deal Real.
The real Deal Real.
In a nutshell, listeners, there was a hip-hop record shop in Soho called Deal Real that closed down. Then another one opened up, which, to be fair, was a lot more popular, also called Deal Real.
But so, the thing is, as far as we all knew, is that they bought the name and it was all legit. But recently we found out that it wasn't legit.
The whole thing was shady.
Yeah, it was all shady. It's just weird anyway, man. For all those years to go by, and then only when... they're like all of a sudden on TV, you know, all of that. It seemed a bit like, I wish I knew that from before.
Now it comes out.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit, but anyway, man.
But I think
big up to both Deal Reels.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mice, it's been a minute. I haven't seen you for flipping ages. What is going on at the minute in the world? In the world of Mice.
Man's just putting in a word.
Yeah, what's Mice doing?
Man got two bags yesterday. Chop them up, put them on the street, make me some dough, you get me? Get in the studio, rap about how I'm chopped it up, put it in the street and maybe some dough.
Yes,
fam. Perform it in front of people, chop up some more.
Sorry.
Nah.
Still.
I tell you what, it's my year, 20.
The takeover.
That's the saying that kills me.
The takeover.
Yo, 2015 is my year.
The mixtape is always called the takeover.
That's it. Yeah, is that what you want?
How many mixtapes?
My year.
Yeah.
All right, bring man a Lucas in still.
Bro, hashtag. Mans ain't ready still.
Can I just say, me and Maestro did an impromptu version live of Word Out, which is... Was that your first
Jargon
single?
Was that
that was
released
Word
on,
with
released
with Skinny
on
Man.
Deal Real Records in 1999. And so at the Deal Real reunion party, I forced Maestro to perform this. He was like, what, you're going to make me perform this on my own? But then I volunteered to rap Skinny Man and Jargon's verses.
Yeah.
And that was pretty classic.
And we
nearly
got signed off for that. I'm not even joking. I don't even want to go into it about this, man. It's hilarious, man.
Oh my god, that's it. You'll have to come back.
Yo, that
another
was just
show
weird,
for that
man.
One.
Yeah.
That was
hilarious.
Yeah, so
we genuinely nearly got signed off that.
So you know, that's the reason I think, because I always like, why people go, your album, the album, and I'm like, all I've done in my head, all I've done is EPs.
Yeah,
I haven't. There's tunes that I've already
and lots
thought.
Of features.
Yeah, exactly. And loads of features and whatnot. I've done like the Diggy Down Under, which was like you know, more of a project, because it wouldn't be if I was, you know, I wouldn't have so many features, or I'd work with the producers that I wanted to, but yeah. I had to work with like New Zealand and Australian producers and rappers as well. But otherwise, like,
you actually lived out there at one point.
That was it was actually going to be one of my questions. I just wondered, how the hell did you get so big in Australia? Like, whenever I'm there, like, if I ever mention rap or I get into a conversation with rap, or do you know my show? They all know you out there.
Yeah,
bro.
You know,
like,
what?
Everybody knows you.
Yeah, it's a funny
good
thing.
Old days.
So I went out there. I did 3 weeks, but I went solo, and so just me and a CD, and just like, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna act like how I did in '97, '98.
I'm on this thing, hungry. Yeah, I'm on this thing.
Hashtag, was he hashtagging them? Right?
No, there was no smartphone. Strictly Nokia 3310.
The proverbial hashtag of what this thing was like. Full
this Nokia
effect.
3310 era.
Yeah, so I went out there.
Carpal tunnel from texting. That's what was going on.
So I went out there, and I was just like, all right, I'm just gonna do, you know, as long as I'm feeling what's going on, I'm gonna work with this one, work with that one, work.
You were like, this is my year.
Yeah. So I felt like, you know, as long as I smash it with everybody, then whoever puts their stuff out whenever, then they do. But luckily for me,
that was like, good timing.
Four of them came out in the same year. So one was like the Hilltop Hoods, and they were like the biggest group. They still are. They're the biggest. They're like the rock stars of hip hop in Australia. Then there was a guy who just got signed to Sony, Phrase. And we
big fries, mate.
Big fries. Yeah. Big fucking fries,
mate.
I was
going to
do Get Radio, and it's a real life. I'm not on Get Radio, mate.
Mate, fully sick, mate.
Can't count.
Fully sick, mate.
Anyway,
do the rest of the interview.
I'll try, mate, but it depends where we go. I don't know, anyway.
Sounding more Finnish or something.
All right, mate, just calm down a little bit, mate. I've got to warm up into that one. Anyway, so Phrase, then was it the Resin Dogs as well?
Yeah.
And then Bliss and Esso. So it was like four, and Bliss and Esso were signed. They were signed to a major. So, and all of them came out in the same year. But at the time, it was like UK stuff was up to par with the US. They prefer more West Coast US stuff because it relates to them more, you know.
Like
the sun,
in New Zealand, you know how they're fully like on that West Coast.
I'm not even, man. New Zealand is just New Zealand is just another level. They went as far as like, yo, like
Bone, but no, but it's like Bone Thugs and Harmony are like official saints. Like they are elevated to saint status out there, but they're living that West
got,
Coast.
Like, Easter Island statues
thug life.
Of
the
Bone Thugs and Harmony. Dizzy Bones. Which one? The one that has a crackhead in there with the pipe. Like. But yeah, so they, you know, at the time when I was going out there, like it was mainly sort of US stuff, the West Coast, some like the underground East Coast stuff. Then there's a UK, like, you know, our scene, like that sort of golden era of the UK,
which definitely
stuff.
So, influenced a lot of people out there too.
Yeah, big time. And then it was like Aussie rap. But then slowly but surely,
mate.
Came through, mate. Came through, punched the cone, had a Darry and a Danny. Felt good, mate. Yeah.
Fully
sticking
deep,
on
mate.
The beat on the barbie.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Oh my God. He from Pimlico.
Have we got him on the line now?
Yeah.
Pimlico Pete's up in this bitch.
I talk for Pimlico.
Yeah, Pete.
What's new, man?
Okay, what's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, just enjoying the weather before I catch up with your guys getting a new... I just had a new haircut, you know, blood.
Oh, are you not in London then, Pete?
Fleek.
Yeah, I love
that.
No,
you said you're enjoying the weather, mate.
It's better in Pimlico.
It's sunny
though.
Now, blood. It's sunny in Pimlico.
To the equator.
It's in the middle of a weather system, Pimlico, like Wales.
Of course, it's got its own.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
so where'd you get your hair cut, Pete? And what style did you get today?
I had a bob, blood.
You had a bob?
You got a bob?
A bob, yeah. I got a bob in it. Yeah,
how
I got
do you
a bob
do that
in
it? Afro hair? Break it up.
Well, I have it straightened, blood.
You got your hair texturized. So kind of like
a bob.
So break it down. Like, do you remember when Didier Drogba kind of did the little bob at the top and then had the lank bits coming out the back? Is it like that? Like a sort of
Yeah, do you
ninja?
Look like a black
you know,
French
yeah,
footballer?
Yeah, he's a bit bad, but not as expensive as what his is.
Yeah, sure. How
you
much?
Know what I mean? I can't afford what his haircuts, man.
How much is the Pimlico bob?
£11, blood.
11?
That's
a few bob.
Decent, fam.
It's 11 quid, man. They put the pound on top so they you have to break a fiver and give them a tip, blood,
isn't it? Yeah, fam.
And did you give a tip?
Of course not, blood.
Oh, see.
It's a credit crunch, isn't it?
For real. Pete, I've got to ask you one quick question.
Shoot, blood.
Because what's the biggest thing in your life that you've missed out on? Have you ever chosen to do something, to have an experience, to do someone a favour, to go somewhere, maybe, you know, go and watch one of your kids in their school play? To do this, you were missing out on, like say, Guns N' Roses playing somewhere.
Yeah, I miss, you know, the Monkees at the Albert Hall. Do you remember?
Back in the 80s,
I could have got on a London bus and had a free trip to the Albert Hall to see the Monkees, minus the guy whose mum invented Tippex, because he didn't need to go on tour, did he? Loaded, innit?
We all remember that.
I missed out on that because of some bird, and I didn't get anything from it, and I missed the Monkees, innit?
Pissed. You got no action with the chick? And you missed the Monkees.
No action, and I miss it to this day. You know, I watch documentaries, and they go, "Oh yeah, I remember seeing them back in the, you know." I go, "Well, that could have been me, but I was just driving around London in a Peugeot 205, blood."
There you go. And now you're just there, full of regrets, with your fresh bob.
Full of regret and remorse.
Yeah. Did she have a bob?
When's the film coming out, blood?
Oh, the one I was filming before. I'll let you know, bruv. You won't miss it, fam.
The question is, Pete, when's your film coming out, mate?
We'll make that happen.
My film next Tuesday, blood.
Next Tuesday.
Boom.
Yeah.
Pete, thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
We love you, Pete.
We love you.
Bye. Peace, bro.
Oh, man, that guy is just the next level of legend.
Is he a real person?
He's a real person, Manga. He's our greatest contributor. We just unleashed Pete.
Oh, my days.
Bro, he's the next level. He's incredible. Bro, I've got so much respect for that man.
Regret and remorse.
So much respect for that man and his bob.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
And it's time for our weekly segment.
Are you taking the piss?
Now, this is a segment where you can get an opportunity to air out someone that's pissed you off during the week. Maybe something's happened, and you've just been like, what are you doing?
Are you taking the piss?
We've had a few emails come in for people that have had
emails. Lovely. Right, it's from Declan. Declan in Bognor. I bought some nasty ass cheap shampoo, and now I have a flaky scalp. I'm going out on a bloody date. I'm only going on a bloody date. That is well taken a piss.
Are you taking the piss?
He's like, taking a piss. Declan!
What shampoo what gives you dry scalp?
Oh. Do you know what I mean? What is he buying?
Was it shampoo?
Most of them market themselves on working against dry. I've never seen
if you're doing that, that £1 Radox shit, shampoo, body washing,
but
wine,
even
that's
the
why.
Worst, I wouldn't have thought it could give you dry scalp.
Only got yourself to blame, man.
Stop shopping 100%. In the pound shop. Get to booze.
Stop going through bins, mate. Save up some cash.
That weren't shampoo.
That's mayonnaise.
Shampoo or a handful of rice. Yeah, exactly.
I really fancy you, Subway.
What?
Subway. You know, sandwiches. Wait,
who's this from?
It's from Jay. Down Cambridge way, see? Cambridge. Right?
As Cockney as they come down Cambridge.
Yeah, mate. I really fancy this Subway. So I brought one for my lunch today, right? All was well until I sat down at my desk. I'm taking a bite, and half the contents of the sub is falling into my lap. Smelling mayo all day. That was well taking a piss.
Are you taking a piss?
See, now, him and the other guy need to swap condiments, don't they?
They really do. Yeah. I know they've got themselves back together. They could be the dream team and actually have a simple life together with two people combined. How about you, lads? Let's start with you, Michael Payne. What's been happening? Anyone been taking a piss this week?
Do you know what? I think only my pet hate, and I suppose... We were talking about my Instagram earlier, and you know, I like to post with a witty caption.
The puns are amazing.
Right. They're the best. I mean, they're the best.
But what pisses me off is when my followers, and if you're listening to this, any of you, like, seriously, stop it, yeah? This culture of one-upmanship, trying to one-up me with my... Do you know what I mean? It's like, dude, you don't know I can just delete your comment and block you. But then you go on their Instagram, they've not put any captions on any of their
own
photos.
It's all memes. It's all dumb shit.
It's like, not one photo with them. You don't even know what they look like. That is my pet hate. And I think it's kind of reared its ugly head a bit more this week, so...
Hey, Doc, is your Cockney mate still around?
He's here, mate. He's literally just sat in the corner in jelly deals. He's good to go.
We've had someone else emailing for a take.
piss. Oh, delicious, eh? I'm going for after work drinks, right? I'm only going for after work drinks, right? After work, as you do, drinks, right? And my nail varnish has just chipped.
Oh.
I don't like having messy nails.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
It's a piss time.
That's from Freya in Luton.
Yeah, but she's from Luton, though. She actually got a job. What are you lying for?
Wow. Let's just make it very clear that Fubar is worldwide. We love all of our listeners. And the thoughts of Genesis Elijah are the thoughts of Genesis Elijah. Do not reflect the thoughts or the feelings of the show itself.
Nah, I love Luton. I was raised in Luton, yeah, so, you know.
Okay, that switches it. That's all right.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Can't tell you what this Rap About Anything is about because I want to do it this week as a quiz. You just try and work out who I'm talking about, all right? We got a beat ready. See if you can work this out. Okay, here we go. Who am I? People think I'm odd because I roll around town in a waistcoat and jumpers. Who am I? I will tell you what I'll probably do. I roll around town in a motherfucking monocle. Try and knock me down, brother. Stop that. Because I'll uppercut your chin, beat you down with a top hat. And people might laugh because I dress like pimps or try and take the piss because I talk with a lisp. Frankly, I would need bare time to discuss the ins and outs and the science of my hairline. That's why I shaved it all off. Damn you. Turns out my head's shaped like a triangle. Who am I? I might sound posh, but I'll roll up in a fucking huge truck like a boss. I've got two Hummers, look like two tanks. Who am I? Bitch, I'm Chris Eubank.
Yeah!
There you go. That's not easy. I've never rapped with a list before, fam.
That was absolutely
now, who sent us that? I've totally forgotten who sent it.
Probably Chris Eubank himself.
We might have just wanted it more than that.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.